It's always good to have a good home run message. I think I got a good one for you today. Amen. Especially on Easter is what I'm saying. Amen. But stand up on your feet one more time and let's pray together. Would you do that with me right now? Pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My heart is ready. My ears are open to receive all that you have for me. Enlighten my eyes, Lord, about the power of your resurrection in me, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you for your word right now. I ask you, Lord, just to speak through me, minister. Let your word be alive to us all so that we can grab hold of it and run and live our lives to the fullest until you come again or we pass on and we see you face to face. We all have a mission to fulfill, and you have given us a resurrected and a resurrection life that we can live right now. And we just give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today is Resurrection Sunday, and it's so good. This is what it's all about, that Jesus arose from the dead. And today we celebrate that. And I wanted to just share with you this morning just some thoughts that I had about the resurrection, and that is that Jesus gave us resurrection life now. In fact, say that. Say, my Jesus gave me resurrection life right now. Because he did. He really did. You know, the scripture that I think is really good is in Matthew 28:6 to say today is that he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he laid. Amen. Jesus arose from the dead. Today we celebrate that. Jesus, the King of Kings, he was raised from the dead. Shout it out, he's alive.
He's alive.
Amen, he is. You know what he did for all of us can be summed up in the words of Octavius Winslow. It's my favorite quote, and you've heard it from me a lot this week, but I got to say it one more time because it's so powerful. Christ took your cup of grief, your cup of the curse. He pressed it to his lips, drank it to its dregs, then filled it with his sweet, pardoning, sympathizing love, and gave it back for you to drink and to drink forever. Aren't you thankful? Amen. Well, today I just have some thoughts about all that's available because of the resurrection, and that is resurrection life right now. Okay? And just a couple of things I want to get through to you today. Jesus was not raised so that we could merely have an annual holiday.
Amen.
He wasn't born in a manger so we can pass gifts around at Christmas. But tradition has taken over. Jesus was not raised so we could merely just have an annual holiday. He was raised so that we can have life and power every day.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Jesus was raised from the dead so that you could have life and power every day of your life. Amen. I know the headache Christians.
Well, I just don't feel very full of life and power.
Well, if you ask Jesus into your heart, you've been filled with life and power.
Amen.
Problem with you is you got a wrong focus. You ought to be in the Word. You ought to be praising God. Come on, people. Because you've been given a resurrected life of power every day. That's what he was raised up for. Second thing I want to communicate to you today. Jesus did not come so that we could have a... Jesus did not come so that we could have a religious life. That gets back in.
He came so I could have a religious life through his holy name.
He didn't come so you could be just whatever about Christianity. He came And he was raised from the dead so that you could live a resurrected lifestyle. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And thirdly this morning, what I want to get to across to you. Jesus did not come to make bad men or bad women good, or bad little boys and girls good. He came to make dead men live, dead women live, little boys and girls to live out this new life, and then proceed to transformation, resulting in that godly lifestyle that's right here and right now. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
He did that for you, and he did that for me. Amen. You know what gloriously distinguishes the gospel of Jesus Christ from all the other faiths and all of their belief systems is the literal, physical resurrection of Christ himself. All of their people that they call their messiahs, their leaders, whether it's Muhammad or whoever, their bones are still in the ground. But our God rose from the dead, bones and all. Amen. When they went to look for him, to anoint his body with oil and to make things smell good after 3 days in the tomb, wasn't going to be pretty. But boy, when they got there, he wasn't there. The stone was rolled away. In fact, Mary thought she was talking to the gardener, but she was talking to Jesus himself. Right? Our leader rose from the dead. And it's what distinguishes him out of any other religious leader in the world. And you need to understand this morning. There are two great resurrections taught in the Bible. One is the past, Jesus' resurrection. And one is in the future, when you and I receive our glorified bodies. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. Write it down. You can look it up. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57, and then Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. There's two resurrections that we read about. The one where Jesus was raised and you took on his life within you. But then there's that future resurrection when our bodies are going to be transformed. Wow, that's going to be fun. That's why I want to be alive and walking on the earth when the trumpet sounds. That's going to be the biggest rush. That's going to be awesome. Can you imagine what it's going to feel like? I don't think you can. I can't. But man, it's going to be something else. But what about the present time frame? What about where we are right now? I mean, thank God for what happened in the past, and thank God for what's going to happen in the future. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
But what about the here and now, Pastor? I mean, does Jesus' resurrection have any influence on the life of a believer today? Absolutely. And thank God it does. But imagine a person living between two massive power plants. One power plant is 10 miles away that direction. And another power plant is 10 miles away in that direction. And here's a believer just right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. One 10 miles away and one 10 miles the other way. And how sad it would be for someone not to be able to tap in to that vast amount of energy flowing from those two sources of power. See, with proper connection, that person could light their home. They could power things in their home. They could bring heat and cooling into their home. Can you say, thank God for air conditioner, right? But see, we are living between two great power sources. Jesus' resurrection and our yet-to-be-realized bodily resurrection. While these are past and future, there is still resurrection power for the here and now for us to live from it every day of our lives. Why? Well, because resurrection is not only an event. Everybody say it's not just an event. It's not. It's not just an event. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. How many of you have Jesus in your heart this morning? Hold your hands up. That's pretty much everybody here. Amen. Well, you know, you got Jesus in your heart. When Paul talks about that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, that's Christ in who? You in me. Christ in you, in me, the hope of glory. Do you think the resurrected one could live in us without allowing us to benefit from his resurrection power? No. He's in your heart, in your life. Your spirit man's been recreated because of what Jesus did when you accepted him into your heart. You've been changed. Amen. You have benefits because of his resurrection power in you. Now let me just give you some scriptures for your ears and your mind to think about. Get them down in your spirit today when you go home and think about this as you eat your lunch or your big dinners you're having. You know, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 from the New Living Translation, it says, "And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." Different translations render it in different ways, but the bottom line when you study it out, just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, that power now lives in you and me. Amen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 from the Amplified Bible. It says, If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. There's eternal treasures, there's riches, there are things that belong to us that we should seek, that we should reach for. We should draw upon the things that we read in the Word of God and grow in the depths of our lives so that we're growing in the knowledge of who the King is. Can you shout amen? Amen. Because as you do that, you're allowing the resurrection power to rise up on the inside of you. Your life should be a powerful life, not a burnout light bulb. Amen. Amen. Your life should burn bright. Amen. And if it's not, then you need to get a little closer to the fire. You've been raised with him. You've been raised to a new life. You have shared his resurrection from the dead. And that's why you should take aim and seek after the things that are above, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And then another scripture this morning, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11 from the Amplified. Notice what it says. It says that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection. You ought to write that down in your notes today. Spiritual and moral resurrection. Because the resurrection lifestyle should not only affect you spiritually, but it should affect you morally. Amen. Let me read it again in its entirety. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Think about that. If possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Billy Graham wrote these words, and I read these just a moment ago. But before the resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon individuals only on certain occasions for special tasks. But now, after the resurrection, Christ, through the Holy Spirit, dwells in the heart of every believer to give us supernatural power in living our daily lives. This is how we can overcome things. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, if Christians really understood and applied the resurrection and applied the ascension of Christ, it would radically change much of the work done for God by each one of them. If you would apply the resurrection to your life, it would radically transform what you're doing for God now. We can't just make church or things, you know, that are spiritual only be at certain times. It needs to be all the time. Yeah. Amen. Because those things affect how you live. The resurrection should affect how you live, how you walk, how you talk, how your Christian life is, and the service that you walk in towards others. The same power, folks. I tell you, it would radically change your life if you would apply the resurrection, the ascension of Christ. It would radically change much of the work done for God by each one of us. Christians, folks, we need not be defeated. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead works not only to save us, but to assist us. To assist us in our life, in our service to the Lord. You got to remember that Jesus, the one who rose from the dead, he arose to pour out His Holy Ghost, His Holy Spirit, into human lives. And that by that Spirit, to make available to any individual, and you ought to write this down, all the fullness of Himself, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That resurrection, He poured Himself out so that you, as an individual believer, could have all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God, 24 hours a day, every day for the rest of your days here. Woo, think about what it's going to be like in eternity. Amen. Well, I want to close this morning with some thoughts here. And just thoughts about, have you experienced the feeling of suddenly being lifted up before? Have you ever experienced that? I remember as a kid, we went to Atlanta, Georgia with my mom and dad, and went there, was it 6 months or a year after the park opened? And we went back on a couple different occasions. One of them, and Melissa loved this ride, was the Gasp. It was a parachute ride. Anybody ever rode that ride at Six Flags? And it's a parachute with a porch swing bench in it with a cushion on it. And you had seat belts. That's pretty much it. And it's on cables and guy wires. And, you know, everybody gets seated. They walk around. They check your seat belts. And they wiggle everything, make sure it's right. And thank God for that. But then all of a sudden, I remember the first time as a little kid I rode that, I understood what it meant for something to take your breath away, besides my wife. But I remember when all of a sudden the worker pressed the button that was the up button. And I remember with my dad beside me and my mom beside me on the other side, I remember my mom grabbing my legs and squeezing so tight with her fingers it hurt. And then I grabbed Dad and held his arm, but I remember this, whoo, going up. Because if you remember, it's kind of fast. And it literally took your breath away. But see, that's what the resurrection did for you. Took the breath away of all that was bad. It transformed you. Well, what does being lifted up suddenly look like when it's operating in your life? Well, when we've yielded to the power of God that flows out from the resurrection of Jesus, we might be surprised at how pervasive and practical God's influence can be in our lives. Because resurrection power can drastically affect our overall attitudes. Amen. Our attitudes towards life, our attitudes towards other people. Resurrection power, resurrection life. You know, we can see hope where others do not see hope. We can envision possibilities when others have just given up. You and I can see possibilities. We envision possibilities when others have given up. Encouragement because of the resurrection. Encouragement rises inside of us, even in the midst of discouraging circumstances. We reject pessimism because of the resurrection. We reject cynicism because of the resurrection. We reject fatalism because of the resurrection. Why, Pastor? Why? Because you and I have been empowered by the power of God that has produced a confidence in us that does not come from this world. Resurrection life proceeds from a wellspring that God has placed on the inside of each one of us. A wellspring of joy and peace from which we draw and by which we are sustained. Amen. We don't see the end of this temporal, moral existence as the end of life, but rather we have an eternal perspective of our God who is in our hearts, our lives, and our life itself. We have God on the inside, an eternal perspective. Everything and everyone takes on a greater value because of how and why God created us. Resurrection, folks, is not a past event, but it's here and now, and it's alive and well in you. Amen. It's alive and well in you. Shout that out loud. Say, His resurrection is alive and well in me. Amen. See, resurrection is not a past event or future promise. It affects you and me dynamically in the here and now. Now, living a resurrection life as believers, right now is a foreshadowing, really, of the ultimate resurrection that we're going to receive when the Lord returns and when we receive our glorified bodies. But in the meantime, you're supposed to live with purpose. Amen. That's why I wanted to do Say So. That song's very powerful. When you read the words of it, what does it mean to be saved? Do I even have it still here? You didn't take it, okay. What does it mean to be saved is the opening line. Isn't it more than just a prayer to pray? More than just a way to heaven? What does it mean to be His? To be formed in His likeness? To know that we have a purpose? Well, I'll tell you why. Resurrection life. It changed everything in your life. And then the other verse. Oh, that the church would arise. Oh, that we would see with Jesus' eyes. Really, you know, that we would see with resurrection power. The power that came from Jesus and He gave to us. Oh, that we could show the world heaven. Show them what it means to be His. Show them what it means to be formed in His likeness. Show them that they have a purpose. And that's why we sang it out. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. We're to be salt and light in this world, not puny, weak people. But what does it mean? What should happen to us? Remember we read the scripture in Philippians 11. Paul said, if I may attain to, if possible, that I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that fits me, that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in my body. Well, living a resurrection life is pushing, resurrection's pushed that up button in your heart. The power of God's changed you. His power is alive on the inside of you. And in the meantime, while we're here on this earth, resurrection power should influence your life. How should it influence us? Well, it ought to influence your attitude. Amen. I'm just curious if you're bold enough to raise your hand. How many of you have ever been fired because you had a bad attitude? Well, thank you. If you've been resurrected believer, you should have God's attitude. Amen. As a resurrected believer, your thoughts should be His thoughts. It's the truth that enlightens the eyes of our understanding, as it reads in Ephesians. His thoughts. You should have His mindset. So many of us, we still live, I mean, we're born again and we thank God for it, we still act like an old reprobate. We cuss, we get mad, we demand things that really we ought to be sweet about and not be so mean about. But we ought to have a different mindset. Somebody say amen or oh me. As a resurrected believer, you should have better focus. Your focus should be precise about what you're doing right now. Too much of the time we waffle around about stuff. We need to be focused. We live with purpose and meaning. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We tell people about Him. We bless folks. We take care of them. We do nice things. We're good people. We're focused on what the Master said to focus on. Amen. The resurrected life should change your habits. Bad habits can corrupt good morals. So I'll get to that in a minute. But your habits... Your habits matter. The word needs to be a habit. Praise should be a habit. Praying in tongues should be a habit. We should have godly habits in our lives. And I think psychologists, some people have changed this from what I read recently in a magazine online. But a habit is something that's formed when you do something repetitive for 21 days in a row. I still believe that. They were writing something different about that. They were talking about how people would disconnect from things. Habits still are forming. You've put deodorant on your body all your life so far now, and it's working for you. Praise God. If it's not,
we know.
Right? You brush your teeth, don't you? That's a good habit. If you haven't been,
we know.
I'm just being silly. But good habits affect you. How many of you got some folks you don't necessarily appreciate their habits, so you try to avoid too much time with that so-and-so? You don't have to raise your hand. We all know. But see, our habits should be sweet. They should affect people. Our habits should be inspirational to people. Why? Because we're living a resurrected life. Amen. What about your pursuits? Things you put before God at times. Does your pursuits glorify Him, or does it just glorify you and what you think?
Y'all home?
Sometimes we spend money on things. We ain't going to be here to use it anyway. The trumpet sounds, bye-bye. Our pursuits really do make a difference in our lives. Our pursuits affect the world around us, affect other people. Which brings me to our speech, the words that we speak, the things that we say. It affects people. It affects the world around you. Your speech should be a resurrected speech, should be a resurrected lifestyle of godly speech. Your pursuits should be godly pursuits. Back up the line there. All those things will dictate how your behavior is, how your behavior will be. All those types of things will dictate your behavior. Habits form behaviors that aren't good, or habits can form behaviors that are excellent. We need to be excellent, and we need to operate in His resurrection power. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And then the last one. Whew. Our resurrected life should help us relate to others, have a passion. It should affect your love walk. The Bible says that love does your neighbor no harm. when I sat outside under that pavilion, and I told Melissa Friday afternoon, do y'all know where that megaphone is? We use at camp because I really think you're going to need it. And we all had different opinions about who all would come. I don't know if I'm going to say it right, but I mean, Donna had one opinion, Melissa had an opinion. But then as it all, everybody began to show up. It was like, wow. And I'm walking around introducing myself to the adults that were there. I met a gentleman named Igor. That was his name. In fact, he talked like he was from Russia. My name is Igor. And he was sweet. He loved the Lord. And he even expressed thanks. Thank you for doing this for my children. And I just talked to him and engaged with him. See, resurrection power should affect the way you relate to other people, including your boss. Amen. Including the people you work with. Well, they're just a mean old cuss. Yeah, but you're a sweet child of the King. And your very behavior and speech and pursuits and habits and focus and mindset and thoughts and attitudes all have a way of relating to people. And God's called us to live a resurrected life. So today, as we go home and we remember that Jesus rose from the dead, remember that He did that and He gave to you all power, all authority. He gave it to you. He turned the keys over to you. He took them from the devil and He gave them to you. And He blessed you when you asked Him into your heart with His resurrection power. Live your life resurrected now. Live it. Communicate the power of God to others. Because, folks, we all have a mission to complete. Let's not live a life of omission. But let's live a life that's fulfilled its mission. Jesus fulfilled His. We need to fulfill ours. You say, well, I don't know what that is. Yeah, you do. You're supposed to reach the others. All of us have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Do something. You're to be salt and light in the earth, in the world. Salt and light. Salt makes people thirsty. You have the light, the glory of God, the power of God, the name of Jesus. You can tell them about the man who changed your life. You can be the salt and give them the joy of a life in God so that they have resurrection life. Can you say amen? Amen. Would you stand up with me this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today or you're watching online and you say, Pastor, you know I'm not living for God like I should, and I really need to make my heart right. If that's you, you know He's made a way for that. Maybe you are born again, but you've not been living for the Lord like you should. We've all made mistakes. 1 John 1:9 says He's faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. If you've made a mistake, just confess. Fess up. If you mess up, fess up. Tell Him you're sorry right now. If you're watching online or if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, what a wonderful, wonderful Sunday to do just that. The very day that we celebrate what was known as Easter, what we know as Resurrection Sunday, what a great day to receive the resurrection. What a great day for that. And it's a simple thing to do. All you got to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. So if you're in any one of those categories where maybe you're backslidden a little bit and you just need to get it right, or you've never asked Him into your heart, today's the day. Today is the day. Hallelujah. Just say these words with me right now. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before You and I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die for me, to pour out his blood for me, and to be raised from the dead. I believe he did that. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and make me brand new. And from this day forward, I will live all of my life for you. In Jesus' name I pray.